Are you here expecting a blessing today?
Amen.
Amen. Well, all right. Well, I'm in the right place, and you're in the right place. If you have your Bibles handy, turn to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. And as you find that, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'll begin preaching in verse 10. And it goes something like this. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Now moving over into verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hands have gotten me this wealth. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to serve you by being in your house. Father, we just ask you to let the Holy Spirit stir our hearts in a special way today as we glean through your word. Father, just use me as an earthen vessel that your word might flow through me, that the very words of God might be upon us, that you would teach us today the things that you would have us to know, the things you would have us to feel, the way you would have us to walk before mankind. Thank you for this, and we stand ready for your word right now. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We don't have to look around very far and realize that we live in a land of milk and honey. If you don't believe it, look at other countries and look at the devastation that's happened in many countries. Look at the plight that they're in, and many countries today are in a situation where it's even scary to walk out your front door without the fear of being shot. You don't go in your backyard and plant a garden and grow vegetables there because there could be a bomb there. You could be shot there. There are many things that are happening all over the world today. We look at the country of Iraq, and I think about Iraq many times. The country that we liberated to make better. And we look at it now, and many, many years have gone by since we liberated Iraq. And we find that Iraq is just in a state of devastation. Families are fighting against families, warring against each other. It's probably one of the most unsafe places in the world now that we've liberated it. And so, when we look back to our homeland country, we think about how fortunate we are to live in a country of milk and honey. We live in a country of plenty. We live in a country that we even pay our farmers not to farm because we have so much. But our country was founded on the principles that God is in control of this country. Our forefathers came to this country for religious freedom, that we might worship the one true living God.
Amen.
It's turned from that now, and it's turning drastically every day. It seems like that we now honor other gods and make them as important, and in many cases more important than the one true living God. We have lifted up other faiths and other religions around us, and we said, you must honor them. Congress has told us that. You must honor them, and you must like what they say. You must give them all the religious freedom that they deserve. Yet when we go back to God's holy word, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Amen.
Amen.
And so when we think about our country, and we think about how blessed we are, it's not hard to look around and say, how much longer is it going to be before God comes back? How much longer will it be before Jesus Christ opens that sky and comes back to redeem us and to take us home? Because there are things that are happening, and I talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning, that just in my lifetime, that would be unheard of when I was a young boy growing up in Sunday school, and we thought could never happen. And yet they're happening in our country today, and now people are not even ashamed of it. 2 weeks ago, I turned the news on, and I could not believe what I was seeing. There was an idol made up or a monument made up. And I guess the theme was that it was Satan himself. It was made in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it was moved to New York City. And in the news media showed for block after block after block of people that stood there with a smile on their face and waiting for their turn to get up and they could see this thing called Satan. It was a thing supposedly made for the atheist people so that we'd not offend anybody. Let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of people offended at judgment time. Amen?
Amen.
It's appointed unto man to die and then the judgment. And our goal as Christian believers is it's time that we stood up for God and quit letting these idol worship and idol gods and other gods into our country, and we stand up for the one true living God.
Amen.
As they stood in line, I would have been scared to even be in the presence of this thing. They announced that as soon as everyone in New York City had an opportunity to visit this and look upon it, while churches stood idly by doing nothing, but churches also stood half full of people because there was no interest in God. They said it was going to be moved to, and I don't know where this is exactly, but they said they were going to move it to the Arkansas State House. I would imagine that to be, or I would take that to be, the Capitol building in Arkansas, or the state capitol, if you will. And it would be on display there. I would imagine by now maybe it has been moved to there. I don't know. But let me tell you what I kind of believe. I don't want to be within a country mile of that thing. Amen. How could we change our beliefs so drastically that people would stand up and want to worship, want to be close to, want to even look upon anything called Satan in our country today? It came out on the news not long ago that we are now taking unborn babies and dissecting parts of them and selling parts. That was bad enough until they found out that they were taking whole babies out and they were using them to sell them. One lady said that she wanted a new Lamborghini car out of it. That unborn babies are nothing any more now than a line item, or they dress it up a little bit and they call it a cadaver. It's an unborn baby that has a soul.
Amen.
And yet, we have legalized so many things about it that it's unpopular. Did you notice I was a little reluctant to say that, but I think I know how Brother Mike preaches. There are churches today that I would not be able to talk about this very subject because it would be so unpopular now.
Amen.
Let me tell you, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. And now we're letting people of the same sex get married. I don't have to look very far in God's Word to think that if we've legalized this, that something's wrong with our country.
Amen.
So we look back. And we think about the things that are happening in our country and the things that we've enjoyed. And I see a country now that if we're not very careful, our rights, our privileges, and all the things that we've taken for granted, including the foods that we eat, will be diminished and finally taken away. Have you been watching the news about California? I can remember many years ago, I was in California for about 6 months, and I saw lush groves of tomatoes, groves of orange trees and lemon trees, and it just looked like the Garden of Eden. And I see it on the news now. There's forest fires all over. Beautiful lakes that once were are nothing but a pile of dirt now. And it just kind of looks to me like that God is lifting his hand of protection as that protection moves from the west to the east. And so, we think about what's going to happen to the east. In the east, we know that things are beginning to happen. Our New York City was attacked one time. It's believed that it'll be attacked again. And you know, it says the beginning of wisdom. We have many wise men in Congress today that I'm sure are very, very smart. And these wise men in Congress today are making decisions that concern me, they concern you, everybody in this church building. But I also know that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Have we lost our fear of God in the United States of America? That we would just blatantly do all these things in God's face. We would blatantly do all these things and say, God, if you don't like it, if you've written about it in here, we're going to legalize it because we're smarter than you are, and we're going to do it anyway, and we're going to make it commonplace because we passed legislation that says we can do it. Just between me and you, God don't care. Amen? God don't care what you think. God don't care what's legal. God cares what's written in this book right here. Now, with the fear of God, I'm not afraid of what God might do to us. I'm afraid of what he might not do. If God holds his hand of protection back, and if God begins to let things happen in California, start drying up and coming across our land, have you seen any of the photos about where the forest fires have went through and you see homes that have been just burnt down to the ground? In massive amounts, and even animals are out there that are dead. There's no vegetation there. Everything is blackened. It kind of looks like a wrap, amen? It kind of looks like something that's happened in another country. And so we think, well, nothing bad's happened for a long time on our eastern side in New York City. Yet we've been in negotiations with Iran, and we told them to stop building nuclear bombs. And they laughed at us and said, we'll sign anything you want, but we're going to go ahead and do whatever we want to do. I'm not making fun of our legislators. I don't know what to do except for one thing, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But I don't think the intelligent men in Congress have really got a handle on what needs to be done. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We know that Iran would like to have nothing to do, nothing better, because they hate you, they hate me, they hate this church, they hate anybody that would even breathe the name of Christ, and they would like nothing better than to see us dead. That's their goal. They would give up their own life, each individual over there, to see us dead. And so we look around at Russia. They have nuclear power too. And last week there was a meeting between Iran and Russia that they might get together and form some powers together and put their arsenals together. And so China says we'd like to get in the mix if at all possible. So they're in the nuclear business. So is North Korea and so is many other countries. That now get this straight. We want to be sure that we understand this. I preach on it a lot, and I believe it from the bottom of my heart. It's not that they dislike us. It's that they hate us, and they want to see us dead because we're Christians. All right. And so as all these world powers have one goal in common, that they hate us, they want to get rid of us, they begin to build nuclear bombs. Now, they say that there is the capacity in the world, with the United States included in this, You say, well, if there was enough nuclear power to destroy the whole planet Earth, we already know there's enough nuclear power to destroy planet Earth 20 times over. So with that said, it doesn't look like our eastern coast is any better than our western coast. We're drying up in California. We're over here on the eastern coast where so many people are congregated together that they know, our enemies know, that if they drop bombs just about anywhere over there, they kill massive amounts of people. Amen? So, when we think about that, are we kind of like sitting in a chair when someone is holding a gun to our head with the hammer cocked, and we're saying, I don't care what you do, I don't care what God does, don't care anything else about it? Have we forgotten God in this equation? Now, this scripture that I just read talked about, it says, when you've eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord. That is our commandment. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But in verse 11, it says, beware that thou forget not the Lord. Now, these are the things that we're supposed to do. This is the solution of the problem. In not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. God said, if I'm going to protect you, if I'm going to let you live in a country where there's plenty of everything, I'm going to let you enjoy peace and prosperity in the United States of America because I'm going to place my hand of protection upon you and I'm going to let you live there. If I do that, I expect you to do this. And that's the commandments he's talking about. You keep my commandments, my judgments, my statutes, and I command you this day to do these things. Now, in the next few verses from verse 12 through 16, he reminds, and of course he's talking to the Israelites there, he reminds them that I've done a lot for you in the past, amen? Is there anybody here that would give an amen that God has done a lot for each and every one of us in the past, amen?
Amen.
Amen. He has. He has not only took care of us, he's let us live in a land of milk and honey and of plenty, but he's also redeemed us from our sin debt. He's made us worthy to go to heaven. And so with that said, all we have to do is follow his commandments. Excuse me, I know you don't want to hear an old dry sermon. And so he's reminding them in the next few verses, I've done this, I've done that, and for the sake of time, we won't read all of it. But he said, I've taken care of you in the past. But I want you to be careful when all these things happen, and getting up to verse 17, that you are not to do this. And be careful about this, that they say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hands have gotten me this wealth. Now, it just seemed like that we live in the age of intelligence. I saw a lady back there a while ago that had a laptop of some kind. I don't even know what all you call them anyway. The wealth of information that she's able to look up on there, even about what I'm preaching about today, she's probably sitting there waiting for me to make a mistake, see if she can correct me, because it will tell her whether I'm preaching the Word of God or not. It'll also tell her many other ways that you can look at certain scripture. We live in a day where you can just about find out anything you want to find out about anywhere. Does anybody know what Google is? My wife's always looking up on Google. I don't know what it is or where it is, but every time I say, you know, I wonder about this or that, she pokes around her cell phone and she says, this is what it says. And she has an answer for me. Well, over and above all of that, we have elected these extremely intelligent men that go up and they sit down, and oh, they look like a mighty bunch when they sit there. They have their ties on and straight, and they have their white shirts on, and they have a jacket on. Oh, they look so good when they sit up there. But it's not the outward appearance that concerns God. It's what happens on the inside.
Amen.
I would love, just one time, I would love to see those mighty men that make decisions about our country bow their head down and say, before we begin business today, let's pray about it. Let's see what God thinks about it, what we're going to do today. Amen. I'd love to see, as these politicians that are running for office say, I will make no decision over our country and over our land today. When I'm elected President of the United States, that I haven't prayed about it and I have meditated on it, and God has given me a clear indication of what's best for our country. You see, we've gotten so far away from God that we just know that there's no godly person going to be up there, so we vote on the lesser of 17 evils. That seems to be what's running on one party right now. We think, well, this one is not quite as evil as that one, and that one's not quite as evil as this, and so we pick out the things that we think that maybe all of them are bad. But have you ever noticed the ones that do stand on some godly principles are the least popular? Have you seen the popularity polls? The more Christ-like they are and the more godly they seem to be, the less popular they are. And so, as we think about where our country is going and what our country has in store for it in the front, we think about there must be a time. I just love good old-fashioned country revivals. I can remember when I was growing up, we used to plan revivals for 2 weeks, and when the evangelists came, we would always tell them to keep the next week open, because if the Holy Spirit's moving real good, we might go into the third week. Amen? And people would begin to get saved. We didn't have air conditioning then, so the churches would be full of people because there wasn't all these ungodly things to do to entertain us outside of the church. And we'd prop the windows open outside because the overflow people would be sitting out on their car fenders. They had fenders back then. Car fenders outside the church where they could hear. We had to keep the windows open so everybody could hear. And when it came altar call time, half the church would come down, pour their heart out at the prayer or altar, and either rededicate their lives or get themselves saved, or would come to a calling that God has asked them to do because God was important to them at that time. That was back in the process of when we had godly principles, and we stood for God, and we wanted to do what God wanted us to do before we got so smart. But now we've gotten so smart that we've told God that we're going to put him on the back burner. We've told God that we're going to do whatever we want to do at any time. And the barometer seems to be now, when we talk to lost people around, well, I'm not a very bad person because look at all the people, they're all doing this now. And now it's gotten to the point where I'm not a very bad person because it's not against the law. Yet there will be a time of judgment. Amen?
Amen.
There will be a time when we'll all stand before Almighty God. And I won't have my wife there with me. I won't have my uncle with me. I won't have my pastor with me. I won't have my congressman with me. Me and him will sit down and he will judge me on what's happened here, whether good or bad, according to what Scripture says. And so with that said, it seems like we ought to be in the process of trying to please God rather than please mankind. And Scripture would tell us to do that. Let's look back in Scripture, verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy father, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, which we've done, we've established that, and walk after other gods, which we've done, we've established that, and serve them and worship them, which we are doing, we've established that. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations, now let's look at this 20th verse. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. If that doesn't scare you, it should. It does me every time that I read it. And that tells me that if we're doing anything at all that's against the Word of God, He's saying, after all I've done for you, you're going to perish. And He's also saying, look around. And when you look around at other countries, like Iraq and some of those countries over there that are in complete devastation, I'm going to do it to you if you don't turn back to me. He's saying, if you think these other countries or these other nations are in trouble, wait and see what I'm going to do to you if you don't turn back to me. We have lost our fear of God, and we have placed eternity in the hands of congressmen that are not godly people. I've often said I'd love to go into Congress and carry this good book right here and preach for about 30 minutes. Of course, they wouldn't allow me to do that because they don't want to hear that. But I'm going to tell you this. We need to be ever mindful of this one thing. As Christian people, we need to stand up for God in a mighty way. We need to vote for anyone that says anything close to being that I will stand up for God when I'm elected into Congress. And then you say, well, they all get bad when they're in there. Well, maybe. But have you ever just had somebody in Congress that you didn't think was doing a good job for us? Have you ever just came to the altar in your church or maybe in your secret place, your closet at home, and got down on your knees and just fervently prayed and prayed and prayed for that individual? Let me tell you something. When I got saved, there was a drastic change in my life. I was a different person after I got saved than I was before I got saved. And I become a person every day. Well, if you believe that, and I wouldn't lie to you about that, that can happen to our congressman. Amen? We can, first of all, try to get a godly man elected. And second of all, if we don't get a godly man elected, we can pray about those individuals. I think that we've lost our touch with what true fervent prayer can really do. Sometimes I like to be in church. I haven't talked to Brother Mike about this, but I'll bet it happens. Many pastors do this when no one's around. And just get down, maybe a prayer rail or here at the stairs or whatever, and just pray until you get done. Have you ever just prayed until you got done? Have you ever just prayed when you just start thinking, Lord, thank you for this, Lord, thank you for that, Lord, thank you for something else, and you start thanking Him for all the things that He'd already given you, as it talks about in the Scripture, and you start thanking Him for the protection that He's given us, and then you start asking for forgiveness for all the awful things that are happening around us, and then you start feeling that closeness to Him. And you realize you've got all the obstacles out of the way, and you were communicating with Him just like you were if you were sitting down knee to knee with Him. You'd removed all the sin out of the way. Remember, the sin is the barrier that keeps you from hearing our prayers. And then that's the time when you can get into some fervent prayer. Prayer with meaning. Prayer that you know when you're talking to God, He hears every single word. And then, you know, as He hears those words, He's going to take action because He loves you and you love Him. We ought to be in a love relationship with Almighty God because of His Son Jesus that loved us that much, amen, that we would take the time out of our busy, intelligent lives that we have and that we get down and do some fervent praying about the situation of our country. Let's look at one other scripture. It's the 7th chapter. You've heard this verse preached on, I'm sure, many times. I have an evangelist friend that preached on this, an entire revival on this one verse as he dissected it and took it apart. 2 Chronicles, 7th chapter, Verse 14 says, if my people, first of all, let me tell you, and you know, you're a good-looking bunch here today, and if I were your judge, we'd all go to heaven together, amen? I'm not your judge, though. Only God knows. It says, if my people, that's a big if. We need to know from the bottom of our heart. There's a lady in a church I used to pastor several years back, and she said, you need to know that you know that you know that you know. I said, amen, I like that. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a blood-washed, born-again, Bible-believing Christian. If my people, which are called by my name, it should not be a disgrace to call ourselves Christians, but it's getting to be that. It's getting to be a point where certainly our congressmen and our legislators don't like to talk about this Christian thing anymore. We need to, every time that we can, stand up and say, I'm a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, amen, and I'm proud of it. Shall humble themselves and pray. Do you know God doesn't hear you unless you humble yourselves? It has that kind of linked together there. We need to have that humble heart, not that proud heart, not that heart that we think we're better than anybody else in the world, but that we were in a lost and dying condition and Jesus loved us so much that he picked us up out of that, what he would call a cesspool of sin, and made us whole again. That's enough to make you humble right there. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And that's talking about pray until you know that you're sitting there having a one-on-one with God. That's the kind of prayer that gets things done. But now listen to this. And turn from their wicked ways. Our country needs to turn around.
Amen.
I was kidding my wife. I said, if I'm elected president, I might as well run everybody else's running. I said, there's a whole lot of laws we would rewrite real quick. But nobody would vote for me because they'd know I'd do that. Turn from their wicked ways. All right. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. I just know that there are things happening in our land today that many of us have taken for granted that, well, it's just that way and we can't change it. We can't do anything about it. But I don't believe that's right. I believe that we are at a point where if we don't do something about our land, if we don't do something about the situation that our country's in, that God will just pull his hand of protection back from us and say, well, you guys think you're so smart? Let's see how you can do it for a while. If you want to put me on the back burner, you don't want to listen to me, and you want to let other gods come into this country, and you want to even uphold Satan in your land. You know, I just could not imagine when I saw this thing on television, this satanic thing there, why there wasn't a bunch of Christian people that were running up there and dragging that thing off the street and getting it out of the way. But it was being upheld, and it was being glorified, and it was on all the news. It's time to turn back to God, amen?
Amen.
It's time to get right with God. It's time to humble ourselves and pray. Christians, like we've never prayed before, that fervent kind of prayer that you know he's listening to you and give him your every problem. And let me tell you, you're not too busy to pray those kind of prayers that I've been talking about. Nobody here is. We need to get down on our knees and pray like we've never prayed before God decides to let us have it on our own. I believe that great revival can break out in our land. I believe that people that we've witnessed to that have never gone to church before can start coming to church and fill our church houses up. I believe the biggest problem we should have in every church right now is where are we going to put all the people, because I think the need is that great. And it will happen when we get serious about our prayer life and serious about our relationship with God. Let's stand together, please.